Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report. Today, my guest is well known. He's a pastor from San Diego, California. His name is Dr. James Garlow. And I've interviewed him before on a podcast, and he's written for us numerous times, including the October issue of Charisma and online. And you've probably heard that his article online about Trump versus Hillary has had an amazing number of shares. In fact, they'd say it's gone viral. And we're going to talk about that and find out why that has happened after this message.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Evangelical Christian Credit Union. What you believe matters, and what you value matters, so where you bank should matter too. At ECCU, every dollar you spend or save is supporting ministry, like loans to churches and banking services for missionaries. Ask yourself, what does your current bank do with your money? If you don't know the answer, or you don't like the answer, it might be time for a change. Visit www.eccu.org to see ECCU's competitive checking, savings, credit cards, and auto loans. That's ECCU.org. Or call 1-800-634-ECCU to learn more about how your money can build ministry.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Jim. I just appreciate so much you writing that article, which actually went up on August 11th. And it's just past 3.9 million shares. I can't believe it. Did you expect that when you wrote it for us?
No, I was just a lady from Phoenix, a nurse, whose husband's a pastor. He's a friend of mine. This lady wrote me and said, I can't vote for Hillary, but I don't want to vote for Trump. What do I do? And so I wrote back to her, and I posted my answer to her. And I said, thanks. You probably made me 10,000 new enemies. Laughed about it, and I thought that was kind of the end of it. Had no idea it would take off and go viral.
Well, I did not see it on Facebook to start with. You apparently sent it to a few friends. I was one of them, and you were talking about Facebook, and I think you made the comment about all the enemies and everything. And I shared it with a couple of my key people, including Joy, my wife, and she said, we have got to get this message out there, because what I was hearing was a lot of Christians were going to just stay home and kind of feel self-righteous that they weren't voting for an imperfect candidate. And then suddenly you made the argument for why people should vote for Donald Trump. And without quoting all 18 points, sum it up for me. Why should we vote for somebody that's less than perfect?
And let me just say, first of all, on my Facebook page, it was only to 12,000 or 13,000 or whatever it was at the time you picked it up. After I put it up on August 4. You pick it up on August 11, I think.
Yes.
And it's because Steve Strang and Charisma, that thing went from my little dinky 12,000 to now 3.9 million, and who knows, maybe it'll get to 4 million before Election Day. So a thank you to you, sir. That's how it took off, and I'm very grateful for that. I suppose just a quick overview of the article would be this, that we recognize that both candidates are profoundly flawed. No one has to lecture on us and on the lack of qualifications of both candidates. We really get that. But there are several really pronounced differences, strong differences in the two. One would be the platforms. The platform is critically important. Read the GOP platform, and any follower of Christ who knows their Bible would feel very comfortable with almost every bit of it, in contrast to the Democratic platform. Then the fact that Donald Trump has moved strongly pro-life, even more strongly than I knew of when I wrote the article, because in the third debate, I don't remember any presidential candidate ever being so forthright on the pro-life issue as he was when he came out and challenged Hillary Clinton on partial birth abortion And by the way, I don't recall any candidate being so brazen and uncompassionate as Hillary Clinton was when she stood there hearing about partial birth abortion, killing a baby as it's being born, and she didn't flinch or wince. She didn't backtrack at all. She stood her ground on that position, supporting the atrocity, the killing. So Trump really demonstrated he was as pro-life as many people thought that he was. He also, the issue of the Supreme Court of the United States is just critical. And he doubled down on that since I wrote the article. And that is that he's going to stand with pro-life and with the Constitution for judges. In all the debates, Hillary Clinton never made one statement that she would appoint a judge who would uphold the integrity of the Constitution, not one. She always talked about she wanted the judges to be able to be willing to kill babies, Roe v. Wade. And so Trump has really won the day on that one. He furthermore is surrounding himself with very good people. Now, even again, I wrote the article August 4th, and he's done that more increasingly since that time. We're seeing some very, very positive changes in this man. Also, just want to point out that not voting and voting for a third-party candidate are just throwaway. In contrast to all my friends who are doing that, who have tried to make their case, it's a very uncompelling case, unconvincing, and to vote for a third-party candidate or to sit this one out is a complete waste of not only a vote, but it's also a lack of being responsible before the Lord, in my opinion, as it relates to the issue of casting a vote that will most honor biblical principles. So that's a quick overview of the article. There's a number of other points. We'll cover as many of those as you want.
Well, the thing that I have observed is that it seems to be changing minds and hopefully changing votes. You know, in my little world, I was talking to people, as I mentioned just now, that were going to sit this one out or they want to vote for third party candidate, as you said, but I don't sense that now. They seem to sort of understand that there are principles involved that go way beyond the personalities. And I'll also say that on August 11th, the same day this article went up, coincidentally, I interviewed Donald Trump here in Orlando. The two were totally unrelated. I was really impressed with the man. And he gave me very good answers. We printed them in the magazine. But on a personal basis, he seemed much more humble than his persona in the media. He seemed very sincere. He's done a number of things that I think show real humility. You know, some of his public statements, such as he said in the Republican convention that he had evangelical support. He said, you know, even though I probably don't deserve it, you know, to me, that shows humility. And when he met with some pastors, he made the statement that while you men were pursuing a higher calling, I was out making money. Well, that shows several things. It shows humility and it shows a respect for Christian leaders or religious leaders and the fact that they were pursuing a higher calling than making money. Most of us would think that a billionaire would think that making money was the highest calling. And, you know, I think Donald Trump is a man who just continues to surprise. And I, as one, am really kind of warming up to him as a leader and hopefully our future president.
I serve on the Faith Council for the campaign, and I'm not close to Donald Trump. I wouldn't be able to call him and get direct access, so I don't have that kind of access. I don't want to overstate. But there's two things that I'm aware of that I think are very significant that I wish the public knew. One is on one conference call, there were 15 on a call with him, and two of us corrected him on something. That they were minor. One was a theological, and one was just in a statement. And I was one of those two. And to both of us, he responded respectfully. He immediately to me said, "You know what? I'll change that." He was very teachable, and I had been told by everybody who had met with him privately in small group settings. I've been told over and over that he's so respectful. He's a quick study. He listens. He's honoring. He's so different. Everybody would tell me that. When we got on the phone, he was highly honoring very respectful of us. There's a second component. After his the unfortunate videotape came out, his unfortunate his behavior of 11 years ago, after that happened, one of our members of our faith council was with him privately, actually there in Florida, and was on his plane with him and then in his Suburban, and is a very forceful personality and confronted him very strongly. This guy's been in ministry 55 years, not easily intimidated, and he confronted him very strongly. And Rudy Giuliani's response, who happened to be there, he pointed a finger at Trump, says, listen to him. Trump's response was, instead of being defensive, he asked that man, will you come and stay overnight at our place with my wife and I, and will you be on the plane with me the next 2 days? Now, that sounds like a very teachable person after he'd been confronted very firmly. So now that that Christian leader has been with Trump extended times, two times since, and he's continuing to report. He says, I'm being received by him as good as I've ever been received in 55 years of ministry by anybody. So I believe we're seeing a man in transition. I'm not saying this flippantly, and I recognize time is the indicator of all this, but the reports that we're hearing at this time, I find very encouraging, which, quite frankly, takes me back to one of the points of my article that you referred to, and that is in my blog, or in my post, in that as a pastor, I pastored a lot of years, I would rather deal with a Trump type than a Hillary type any day, because Trump puts his sins out there and he's brazen about it. It gives you something to go after and confront. Whereas a Hillary is deceitful, is cunning, is lying, is in continual denial. And I'm fairly successful as a pastor when I have to confront people who are kind of bold and upfront in their sinning. But I don't know of any time I've ever been successful in someone who's in continual denial and deceit and a liar. I can't deal with that kind of a person pastorally. So I think his personality, though bold and brash and brazen as it is, works to our betterment to be able to speak into his life spiritually. And certainly one of my friends, somebody that you know extremely well as well, has done exactly that with him. So that's very encouraging.
That is encouraging, and our podcasts are kept short, so I'm going to invite you back to do a second podcast with me. But before I do, I want you to give us a very interesting analogy you did concerning your late wife, Carol, and the treatment she had when she was going through cancer, and you related that to Donald Trump.
Carol and I were married 42 years, and we had a tough battle with cancer the last six of those years, and she passed away in 2013. But in the midst of that treatment, once we saw how serious a diagnosis it was, and it was a type of cancer that takes people out, quite frankly, fairly quickly. And so we sought very proactive, aggressive treatment. That was what she wanted to do, and I supported her. And so not only just the standard, really strong amount of surgery and chemo and radiation and such, but also across the border in Tijuana is Oasis of Hope Hospital, which we had great confidence in because we knew the integrity of the people who own it, the Contreras family. And so I was going to go across, and an oncologist here on this side of the border in San Diego, a surgical oncologist, who I'd become we'd become very close friends of. He's very brilliant. He kept arguing with me and fighting with me. No, don't take her. I said, Doctor, why not? And he said, the unknown. And I said, well, Doctor, your known is worse than their unknown. And so I did take her across, and frankly, it probably stretched 2 years of life into about 6 years of life. And that same doctor, when he saw her on her one-year anniversary of diagnosis, he was shocked how good she looked, and he went and pursued that hospital to find out, what are you doing? Now, that he couldn't embrace it because it wasn't FDA-approved because it's the other side of the border. But he wanted to know, and he went to training by them to say, what do you know that we don't know? Now, I say all of that. Here's the analogy is Donald Trump, I admit, has some unknowns. We don't know everything a Trump presidency might look like, but we do know what Hillary Clinton's presidency would look like. And her knowns are way worse than Donald Trump's unknowns. And when I wrote that, there were more unknowns than we have now. There's a lot more that's known about Donald Trump since I wrote that on August the 4th. But the statement still stands true. Hillary's knowns are considerably worse than Donald Trump's unknowns.
Well, I've had people tell me that one thing alone helped them change their mind. It kind of opened their minds, I guess. And I just thought it was such a beautiful, appropriate analogy that I wanted to ask you to restate it from the article. Thank you for being on this podcast, and ask my listeners to check out the other podcasts that I do with Pastor Jim Garlow of Skyline Church in San Diego. Thank you for listening today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.